Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship today. Nice to have you here. What a beautiful Sunday in January. The winter's half over. We haven't had a major snowstorm. Some of you have fought the flu bug, but you're all beyond that now. There's no more flu. The deer are eating the cedars, laying down, you know, resting. Turkeys are running wild. Kids and grandkids are behaving themselves. God is good. We've been blessed. Yeah, it's nice to have you here. Could you, everyone, sign these little sheets here? Put your name and address. If you'd like me to make a visit, make a little X there. If you're visiting, especially put your phone number or address, okay? I'd like to send you the newsletter and stop and say hello if that's something you'd like. Have you already done it? Holy moly! What? There is wisdom in this congregation. Oh, I have to announce the world's greatest fisherman has joined us today. Doug Kloss got the biggest fish on our trip. I won't tell him the other award you received. Our friend Darwin Breeswitz received the award for the most courageous. Darwin's been fighting cancer for so long, and he was able to fish with us, and it was just great having him with us. So, we gave a number of awards out there, but we had a great time. Today, we are going to talk about the importance of listening. Here comes the youngest member of our congregation today who needs the earpiece. Oh, right along with you, hey? We're going to talk about listening. Last summer, this week I'm turning 65. Yeah. Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing. So I was thinking about high school, graduating in 1968, trying to name all the people I remembered in my class. And 4 or 5 years ago, a bunch of us got together, word got out that someone was hosting a party. We don't have reunions, okay? Finlanders don't know how to get together. But there was a gal in our class named Alice who was quiet as could be. I didn't speak two words to her, and she was just very, very quiet. So this house is open, I walk in. Alice hadn't changed a bit from 1968. And there's a whole bunch of people, and she's the first one right there. So I said, "Oh, hi, Alice. How are you? How's everything going? Have you been okay? Blah, blah, blah." The first word she said to me was, "You've gained weight." You got to understand that I was just this little skinny tyke, you know, this little weakling. Anyway, I listened, so I went out and got in shape. Yeah, sure. But we're going to talk about listening and the importance of listening to God and listening to each other today. So take note when we say our prayers and sing our hymns and hear the word, how important listening is, please. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh Lord, we thank you for bringing us safely through the night to a new day. There's new opportunities and new places to go and people to see. And help us to listen to you today and help us to listen to each other. We thank you for your Son who taught us so much and gave us so much. We thank you for your Spirit that moves in our hearts to bring us here this morning. Bless us with your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is "This Little Light of Mine." We'll rise during the singing of the last verse.
Still light of mine.
turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletin. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who spoke light into creation, who calls us to listen and follow, who sends us to shine like stars. Let us come before God confessing our sin. Let's take a moment for silent confession. And let us confess together. Holy and merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against our sisters and brothers and against you. We cherish the values of this world. We cause others to stumble. The earth is wounded by our excess. Have mercy, O God. Forgive us, renew us, and raise us up on eagle's wings, that we may do your will with courage and delight. Amen. Hear the voice from heaven. You are my own, my beloved. God gives power to the weary and strengthens the powerless. Be cleansed, be healed. For in the name of Jesus Christ, I declare to you the forgiveness of your sins and the revealing of God's reign. Amen. Sisters and brothers in Christ, beloved children of God, grace, mercy, and peace be with you all.
And also with you.
Let's join together in the prayer of the day. Thanks be to you, Lord Jesus Christ, most merciful Redeemer, for the countless blessings and benefits you give. May we know you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly, day by day praising you with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
The reading for today is found in 1 Samuel chapter 3. At the time when visions are rare and unexpected, the Lord comes to Samuel and calls him to speak the divine word. Though just a boy, Samuel responds to God obediently, as Eli the priest has taught him to respond. This marks the beginning of Samuel's prophetic ministry. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days, and visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. And then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and he went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. And therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Here ends the lesson for today. The psalm for today is Psalm 139, and we will read it responsively, and where you see the bold R, you will repeat, "You have searched me out and known me." Lord, you have searched me out. O Lord, you have known me.
You know my sitting down and my
You trace my journeys and my resting places and are acquainted with all my ways.
Indeed, there is not a word on my lips, but you, O Lord, know it all together. You have searched me out and known me.
You encompass me behind and before and lay your hand upon me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me.
For you yourself created my inmost parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb.
I will thank you because I am marvelously made. Your works are wonderful, and I know it well. You have searched me out and known me.
My body was not hidden from you while I was being made in secret and woven in the depths of the earth. How deep I find your thoughts, O God, how great is the sum of them.
If I were to count them, they would be more in number than the sand. Count them all, as I stand, would mean to be like yours.
Please stand for the reading of the Gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this second Sunday after Epiphany is found in the first chapter of St. John, beginning with the 43rd verse. In John's Gospel, Jesus' ministry begins with the call of disciples, who then bring others to Jesus. Philip's friend Nathanael moves from skepticism to faith when he accepts the invitation to come and see. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You'll see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The Word of God, the Word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn, "Children of the Heavenly Father."
Children of the Heavenly Father.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. New York columnist set out to prove that no one really listens to what other people say at a cocktail party. says that he was invited to a party, and he always arrives late, and this is what he does. He arrived late for this one party, and he greeted the host and explained to him why he was late. He said, I had to stop along the way and murder my mistress, and it took longer than I thought. And without blinking eye, the hostess said, well, I understand. You know, I was almost late myself. Everyone's busy this time of the year. Enjoy yourself and have a good time. So he moved around the crowd, and someone asked him what he did for a living. He says, oh, I'm an executioner at the state penitentiary. Oh, really? Well, that must be interesting work. How does business look this time of year? On and on and on. Nope, nobody listens. That was his point, he said. Even people who are important to us, sometimes we don't listen. That's what's happening to a young boy named Samuel in our first lesson. It wasn't a phone call with all kinds of static on it. He simply heard a voice in the night. He's living in the temple of Shiloh. It was late that night. The writer in the book of 1 Samuel reports that the lamp of God had not yet gone out. When I read that, I thought, well, what does that mean? So when I looked it up, there's two kind of meanings that could come from that. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. It might mean simply that it was late at night. The only light in the temple was a ceiling lamp that was at the end of the night and was almost burned out. Still burning, but it's obviously it was at the point when it soon burned out. But on the other hand, another example, it might have some symbolic meaning. Eli is the high priest. He's in an advanced age. He is blind, or nearly blind. His sons, just for your information, were in line to take his place in charge of the temple, were really scoundrels. They had abused every privilege they had as priests. Their moral fiber, they were just misfits. They had no business taking care of temple duties. So the writer may have been saying that even though the worship of God at Shiloh is not what it should be, God was still dwelling there. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. He hadn't removed his presence from that place. His light still shone, even though it was just dim. That might be another example. But whatever phrase this means, Samuel hears this voice, the voice of the Lord. Now you recall, maybe you won't, but let me give you a prefix to this. Samuel was in the temple because of a promise his mother had made. Hannah was his mother. She was one of two wives of a man named Elkanah. It's a situation that seems to happen often in the Old Testament, okay? But Hannah, the other wife was named Peninnah, by the way. And Peninnah was prolific at having babies. And Hannah couldn't have a baby no matter what, huh? She couldn't get pregnant. Peninnah taunted Hannah unmercifully about this. Hannah would weep and pray passionately that God would give her a child, and nothing happened. Her husband, Elkanah, would try to reassure her, and this is what he said in the scriptures. He says, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more than you than 10 sons? Yes, I'm enough, boy. I'm enough for you, big girl. His reassurances, though, fell on deaf ears. Well, one day, Hannah's in the temple at Shiloh, and she's on her knees, and she's praying fervently for a child, and it's then that she made a promise to God. She says, Lord, if you give me a son, I will give him back to you. She's moving her lips without making any sound in the scriptures here. And Eli's watching her pray so passionately, moving her lips and no sound coming out. He thought at first she must be drunk. And so he says to her, how long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. Women. Or is it guys? Anyway, she says, no, Lord. I'm a woman who's deeply troubled. I haven't been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Don't take your servant for a wicked woman. I've been praying here out of my anguish for the Lord. And Eli says to her, well, you go in peace, and may the Lord God of Israel grant you whatever you've asked of him. She says, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then says the writer, she went away, ate something, and her face was no longer downcast in the scripture story. And the Lord did give Hannah the desire of her heart. She named him Samuel, which means I begged from the Lord. I was hoping that our friend Sam Samuelson would be here today. He's down in Florida sunning himself. Anyway, Samuel means I begged from the Lord. And so we have this little baby Samuel. After he's weaned, Hannah brings Samuel, 2-3 years old, to live in the temple under the care of the priest Eli in this temple in Shiloh. And she fulfills the promise that she made to the Lord in her prayers. Now, it's some years later, and Samuel's about 11 or 12, he's lying on his bed in the house of the Lord late at night, and he hears the voice calling to him, and Samuel assumes it's old Eli. You can imagine Eli, almost blind, quite weak. He would call on Samuel often to get things for him and assist him as he grew older and older and weaker. So Samuel runs to Eli when he hears this voice and says, "Here I am, you called me." And Eli says, "I didn't call you, go back and lie down." And so he goes back and lies down. And again, the voice is Samuel. Now, if this was some of us, we'd either be frightened or very upset because we're hearing these noises. We don't want to be bothered when we're asleep. But Samuel simply gets up, runs to Eli, and says, "Here I am, and you called me." And Eli says, "My son, I didn't call you. Go on back and lie down. Go to sleep." And then the writer explains the key component to the story. He says, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not been revealed to him." When I read that verse, I thought about my story when I was a kid. My folks brought me to church, and I listened to the Sunday school teachers and went, you know, did all those things. But I don't think the Lord had been revealed to me. I think about my kids. They don't go to church. Good kids, loving kids, served publicly. But I don't know if they know the Lord, yet the Lord has not been revealed to them. So I'm wondering what this is all about. Didn't Eli do his work, or wasn't Samuel's heart open yet to the Lord? I'm still wondering about that. Tune in next week and maybe I'll have an answer for you. Anyway, third time the voice comes and says, "Samuel." Samuel says, "Speak, for your servant is listening." The word of the Lord comes to Samuel then. It's a beautiful story. A lot of us have heard this story as children. And it's an important story. Samuel would later become a judge in Israel and one of its most important prophets. In fact, he was the last of Israel's judges and the first prophet. Remember, it was Samuel who anointed both King Saul and King David. Remember the story of David? He goes to Jesse, "Bring your sons out." He brings the sons out, 6 sons there. He says, "No, he's not going to be one of those. You got another son?" "Yeah, it's the boy out in the tending sheep. And it happens to be David." David comes in. "Ah, this is the one who's going to be king of Israel. The last, the 7th son of the 7th son." Anyway, that's Samuel who anoints him. He plays the role. And thanks to a mother's promise and his own openness to the voice of the Lord, these things happen. And as we hear the story, we become interested in what this story of Samuel means for our lives. So what does it mean for our lives? Well, it reminds me of the importance of listening to God and listening to one another. Most of us will not be hearing mysterious voices in the night. At least I hope not. I did read, though, according to recent research, that the experience of hearing voices is not that unusual. Estimates suggest that half of the normal population have heard strange, whatever normal is, have heard strange voices, huh? And estimates suggest that about 4% of the population hear voices regularly. So if there's 100 people in this room this morning, that means 4 of you hear voices regularly. That's a little spooky. I mean, mental health professionals tell us, usually define hearing voices as a symptom of some medical condition. Schizophrenia is hearing voices, for instance. I'd suggest as this is happening to you, consult a medical professional or say your prayers. Because God might be talking. And I've got to confess, I did hear a voice in my dreams 2 nights ago. It was my great uncle, who was my godfather. And he was telling me something, and it reminded me, I better call my godmother. It was my godfather talking. Godmother, and touch base with her, but I haven't done it yet. So that prompting spirit, that's the way it works in my life. I don't know how it works in yours. I'm hearing voices. I better make an appointment. Anyway, it's important to note that when God speaks, it's rarely an audible voice. I mean, you remember the story in 1 Kings about Elijah? Elijah is being chased by the Babylonians, and he hides up on the mountain, and he's told there that he's going to hear the voice of God. And so he's standing on the mountaintop, and a great and powerful wind comes and tears at the mountains and shatters rocks, but God's voice isn't in the wind. And then a terrible earthquake comes, but God isn't in the earthquake. And then a fire comes, and this fire burns and burns, but his voice isn't in the fire. And then God comes in what some people translate as a gentle whisper in the quiet. In fact, some translations say that it was the absence of any noise at all. It was pure silence that he heard the voice of God speak. Sometimes God speaks through a gentle whisper or through pure silence. God generally speaks in the quietness of our own hearts, I think, is what the scriptures are telling us. That's the way it is for most of us. God speaks to us without words. He speaks through life experiences. He speaks to us in the silence of our own thoughts. After a time of laying out our needs and concerns, if you take time to meditate on them, you may get some answers. That's the importance of prayer. We come before God with our needs and with our concerns and share what's on our heart, and God already knows those concerns before we even enunciate them, but it's still important that we share them with Him. And I would invite you to pray out loud. Mark, when you take that walk in the woods by yourself, pray out loud, because once the words are out there, you look at it and say, holy smokes, I feel that. I'm thinking that. When we pray silently, you can fall asleep or drift off. When you put the words out there, they're there. You can't take them back. Is that what I really think? Is that what's really happening? Is that what I'm feeling right now? It's actually really good. It's important for us to pause and take a few moments to see if God has something to say to us, huh? And remember, God has concerns too for us. They may be concerns about how we're living our lives. It may be about someone in our family who needs our attention. It may be about something that needs to be done in our families or in our community or in our church. Give God a chance to speak. I think that's what part of this lesson's about. Take time in your prayer life to listen. It's also important that we take time to listen to each other, particularly in our families, huh? There's a fellow, Mark Merrill, who was writing about family relationships. He was telling about multitasking. Says that multitasking can be a good thing, but when it comes to relationships, maybe it's not so good. He gave an example of asking his daughter about a friend of hers. Without looking at him, she gives a one-word answer and starts doing something else on her iPhone or iPad or something. And he then asked her if she was listening. She says, yeah, I'm listening, but I was multitasking. And later he explained to us how important it was to him that she pay attention in a conversation with people, to give them full attention, huh? But then he thought later, and I wonder how many times I've done the same thing, just kind of tune out. We all know what he's talking about, how we can tune out when someone else is speaking. Huh? We rarely give each other our full attention. I was with my brothers a few weeks back. My older brother Willie was saying, I'm concerned about Sandy. That was his wife. He says she talks a lot to herself these days. My younger brother, Bayball, he's a baby who bawled a lot. He says, yeah, my wife does too, but she doesn't know it. She thinks I'm listening to her. Family dynamics. No one in this room will be surprised when I say that maybe the biggest complaint of most women is, he doesn't listen to me. It's important when someone is speaking to us, particularly someone we love, that we look them in the eye as a signal that they've got our whole, full attention. One last illustration. An author named Bruce Larson, this is what he wrote about listening. He says, one of the greatest gifts that God can give us in life is the gift of listening. Listening is the key to success and perhaps even survival in most relationships. We've all seen beautiful double-page magazine ads in which reputable business systems companies claim that they will teach the members of your firm how to listen. They suggest that the art of listening leads to business success. I don't know if they can deliver what they promise, but I'm convinced that every year many businesses will fail, not because their product is faulty or their service is poor, but because management and workers are not listening to each other. I'm convinced that every year some marriages will fail because two people, though lovers, do not know how to listen to each other. Even the one who looks so strong and adequate may be trying to communicate, help me, I'm frightened, I'm lonely. Every year there are parents and children who will begin an irreparable breach because of feelings they can't put into words. Family members speak past each other and relationships diminish. Listening may be the most important sign of love. Samuel listened to the voice of the Lord and became a great man. We will become greater men and women too if we listen for the voice of the Lord speaking to us. And it's equally important that we listen to one another. So our scriptures say, the Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant is listening. Amen. Something for us to think about this week. Amen. Let's join together in singing, Be Thou My Vision, and we'll invite the ushers at this time to receive our morning offering.
May I reach heaven's joys, O heaven.
Please rise as we say together the offertory prayer on the top of page 5. Let us pray. Merciful God, as grains of wheat scattered upon the hills were gathered together to become one bread, so let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory through Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen. Call to know, love, and follow you, O God. We pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. Gracious God, speak to your listening church and send it to point eagerly to the many ways in which you reveal your life-giving presence. Lord, in your mercy, renew the face of the earth, heal the wounds human carelessness inflicts on creation, and rouse us to increase our care of land and waters. Lord, in your mercy, restore and strengthen world leaders. Give them a clear vision of your power to move hearts and minds and enable them to act with justice and compassion. Lord, in your mercy, refresh the depressed and despairing. Comfort those who weep and mourn. Give companionship to the lonely and healing to the sick. We especially remember in our prayers Joyce and Ron and Darwin and Judy and Betty and all of those in our lives who need your healing touch. You are the great physician. Please take care of your children. Lord, in your mercy, fill our congregation with renewed zeal to love our neighbor as you love us. Open our mouths to invite friends and neighbors to come and see you. Lord, in your mercy, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for your many blessings, for this nice winter that we are enjoying. And yet we pray for those who are heading south these days, those who are already down there, keep them safe and in your loving care. We ask your holy angels to take care of our family, our friends, and unite us as one people, helping each other on the journey of life. We bless you for revealing yourself in the saints. Bring us with them into the fullness of your glory. Lord, in your mercy, trusting your love and healing, O God, we commend to you all for whom we pray, knowing you will hear and answer through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's join in confessing our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And so we gather at the Lord's table this morning, ever mindful of the Spirit of God living in our hearts and in our lives. We are reminded that at this meal, this was Jesus' last meal, and he promised us freedom from slavery to sin and all other things that enslave us. And so he took bread and he broke it and said, this is my body which is given for you for your freedom. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me. After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of your sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. All people are welcome at the table of our Lord. This morning we'll use intinctions, so we will hand you the bread. Please dip it, the wine or the grape juice. If you are gluten intolerant, please let me know, and we will serve you that. I am going to ask Bob, you stay back there, and Regina, you stay back there, and Irene, you stay back there, and if anyone else can't come forward, let the ushers know, and we will serve you three and anybody else in their seats. Table is set. Come, eat and drink the bread of life. Will the congregation please rise? The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. Let's join together in the prayer after communion. Let us pray. Everlasting God, we bless you that you have brought us to the mountaintop and fed us with the life and light of your Son. Send us in his name from this place to bring light into dark corners, healing where lives are torn, and nourishment to every hungry heart. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God the Father, light creator. God the Son, light from light. God the Holy Spirit, light revealer. Bless you and give you peace.
Amen.
Go in peace. Share the good news. Closing hymn is 817, You Have Come Down from the Lake Shore. You have come down to the lake shore. Nor the wealthy, but only asking for me to follow. Sweet Thank you.
Amen.